message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're glad you joined us today. We trust that our time together in God's Word will prove a blessing and help to you. Our time of studying God's Word. I do trust that you're making this a regular habit to meet with us each time we're on the program here on your station. And you could be a missionary by contacting others and inviting them to tune in with you. And maybe even right now you could call a friend and tell them, say, hey, the Bible study program's on. Let's go be Bereans and let's get our Bible and sit down and tell them the channel and the time and to tune in with you. And we appreciate all our friends in every community where this program is on who go out and share it with others and tell others about it and talk it up and by word of mouth spread the word that they can study the Word of God right here. We're not here to talk to you about religion. We're not here to talk to you about philosophy. We're not here to talk to you about some organization. We don't have anything for you to join. We're not talking to you about denominations. We're just here to talk about the Word of God. And we're in Romans chapter 15, and he's talking about the Word of God. We're in a verse that talks about all of the Word of God. And in Romans 15, verse 4, Paul says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." In the 15th chapter of the book of Romans, the Apostle Paul is emphasizing the importance of having all of God's Word stored up in your heart in order that you might live in liberty. Now, we've seen in our studies in the last few weeks that in chapter 14, he's talking about living with liberty, how to live and enjoy your liberty in Christ without abusing it and causing others to be damaged by the liberty that you have in Christ. The understanding of living in grace and the liberty that's ours in grace rather than living under the legalism of performance systems and legalistic type systems. How do you do that? Well, he's given us some practical instructions here. And now he's moving into a section in Romans 15 where he's going to demonstrate the importance of having an understanding of God's Word, because the basic issue in living in liberty, living under grace, is living in an appreciation of the sound doctrine. The issue is understanding sound doctrine, understanding truth out of God's Word about who God has made us and what God's doing today. The key is to have sound doctrine in your understanding that will dictate the walk of the believer. If you hold your hand here, come with me to Colossians chapter number 1, for example. We could look at a lot of passages like this, but you have to understand that if your life as a believer is going to function properly, you see, a believer that is firmly established in sound doctrine is a Spirit-filled believer. That's how the Spirit of God fills us, is through the Word of God. It's not through emotions. It's not through, swaying to the music and all that. That's not being Spirit-filled. That's being emotional, is what that's being. It isn't by having some, guidance. It isn't through some solemnity of an occasion. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today. It isn't that kind of stuff. God bless you as we get. Sometimes I see preachers and they're so sweet. Bless their hearts. God love them. They're so sweet. They're so kind that, you just want to go up and smack them one time, see if they're real. See what would happen if a problem came up in their life, Sometimes you see these guys, they're talking and they're going, and they're so effeminate. That isn't how God's Word makes you. God's Word doesn't make you something that isn't real. You go over here and you're doing one thing, then you go down and sit and have a cup of coffee and you're just a person. Why, God's Word isn't gonna make you phony like that, with the ministerial tone one minute and the normal talk the next. No. Being filled with the Spirit is not some performance. It's the Word of God dwelling in you richly and having your mind and your understanding saturated and just literally crammed full of the truth of God's Word. That's what he says here, Colossians 1:9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will. If you look that word filled up in a Strong's Concordance, one of the definitions that Strong gives of that word is to cram. I mean, he said, I want you to have the knowledge of His will just crammed into you. Cram it in there. Poke it, push it, settle it, push it down. And cram it into your understanding. Be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Why? That the purpose, the intent of being filled with wisdom and knowledge, with the knowledge of His will, that you might walk, that you might have a lifestyle worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Do you want to live pleasing to God Almighty? I mean, is that a goal in your life? There's only one way to do it. And that's not run and ask the preacher what kind of clothes you ought to wear. It's not run and ask the preacher where you ought to go on your recreation outings. It's not run and ask the preacher how you ought to live your life. Paul says, not for that we have dominion over you. It's not a preacher's job to tell you what to do in life. But we're helpers together if you're a joy. It's a preacher's job to help you appreciate what God's done for you. So you can live and have that live in you, where you are, on the basis of your understanding being enlightened. Be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom, spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. You want to walk that pleases, you want to please God? You want to be fruitful in every good work? Increasing in the knowledge, growing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. You want to have the power of God unleashed and working in your life unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Notice, it doesn't say anything about signs and wonders, miracles and deliverances, because that isn't what God's doing today. The power of God today isn't manifest in signs and wonders and deliverances. Somebody, one of our viewers, sent me a cassette tape not long ago. And on the outside of it, he said, "Hey, Jordan, you got any guts? I dare you to listen to this." And it was a tape of a supposed miraculous healing where God was just taking away a disease and this person just comes, you know, whew, back into full health and so forth. I listened to it. You know, I mean, I listened to Boxcar Willie and Jimmy Dean and Mozart and Chopin and Beethoven and Bach. I love Bach, play Bach myself. And I listen to, you know, all kind of music and all kind of crazy stuff. You know, I listen to the guys on the talk show. And I hear Howard every now and then. Don't care much for him, but I hear him. And I hear Rush and Gordon and Ollie and Hal and Phil and Oprah. And, you know, you hear all that stuff. You can't live in the world and not hear it all. So I listen to all kind of stuff. I listen to the tape. Made about as much sense as all the rest of it. You say, see, there's evidence. God, no. The evidence of God working is right here in this verse. See, God didn't write that tape. He wrote this verse. Strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Oh, it's wonderful to see the mighty miracle-working power of God work. But you know how it works? Unto all patience. Now that's important. Unto all patience, completely unruffled, unperturbed, and long-suffering, able to stick it out, suffer a long time with joyfulness, without complaining and griping and grumbling. Oh, well, none of that. None of this, oh, I don't know why God just inflicted, I wonder what I did to make God mad at me. None of that. But going through whatever the problem is and praise God, I'm complete in Christ. Bless God, I have a home in heaven. I have His life. No matter what happens here, in the end, it's just glory for me. And on the way, I've got a heart filled with thanksgiving to His goodness to me, giving thanks unto the Father. That's it. You see, the foretaste of the powers of the kingdom that was to come, that went evidence in Pentecost, is not the standard by which God operates today. If you don't understand something about right to divide in your book, you're going to wind up in the slough of despond because it isn't going to work for you, because it isn't what God's doing today, and the arm of flesh will fail you. And you can go on with your superstition, and you can go on with your human viewpoint, and you can go on with your emotions only so long, and then like a house of cards, they come falling down. The only safety for you and for me is in the sound doctrine of God's Word, to have our minds, our souls filled, crammed up with the knowledge of His will, with understanding what He's doing today, so we have wisdom and spiritual understanding. You go back to Romans 15, Paul makes it very clear. If you're going to live in the liberty that Christ has given you in grace, the liberty where Christ has made you free, if you're going to stand fast in that liberty, we have to have a heart attitude that's proper. Verse number 3, he says, For even Christ pleased not Himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. You see, the proper heart attitude that we're to have in our living in our liberty. You can abuse. Listen, if it's grace, you can abuse it. If it's liberty, you can abuse it. If it's grace, you shouldn't abuse it. If it's liberty, you shouldn't abuse it. But you can. What's to keep me from abusing it? What's to enable me to use it properly? You see, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And Paul says, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace might abound? And he answers, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer? How shall we who've been so radically changed by our identification with Jesus Christ in His death and resurrection, how shall we live like we haven't been changed? But you see, you can abuse it, but you shouldn't. You say, well, what is it that's going to make the difference? It's a heart attitude. It's a choice of faith where we walk in line with the reality of who we are. In relating to us what our proper heart attitude ought to be, Paul uses the Lord Jesus Christ as the reference. The attitude of Christ is demonstrated in Psalm 69 when he said, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. We're to base our attitude on the same kind of attitude that Christ had. Notice that Paul quotes the Old Testament scripture to do it. Then he says in verse 4, Romans 15, 4, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comforts of the scriptures might have hope. You see, that the establishing and the building up of the believer is going to be something that is accomplished through an understanding of the Word of God. All of the Word of God. Here we are today in the dispensation of grace, members of the body of Christ, he said, don't forget what the Bible said about Christ back in Psalm 69. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, written for admonition and learning, that we through patient and comfort of the Scripture, we see how God was patient, how God gave comfort in the Scripture, gives us confidence that He'll do the same with us. Come with me to 2 Timothy, chapter number 3. In the last book that Paul wrote, he gave some instructions concerning the Word of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 16, all Scripture, not just some of it, all of it, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Then he goes on to say, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word. What Word? All Scripture. He told Timothy in verse 15 that from a child hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. It was the Scripture that could keep Timothy from going into the era of the apostates of his day. make them wise unto being saved from that kind of fall. He says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's the word of God that's going to do the work of God in the heart of the believer. Romans chapter number 16. Passage of scripture we're going to consider in some detail. We've already looked at it many times in our study. In the next couple of weeks, we'll see it again. Romans 16, verse 25, Paul says, now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and according to the scriptures and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You're not established until you're familiar and grounded in all of the Word of God. Until you've got an understanding of all God's Word, you haven't gotten the edification that Paul's talking to us about here in Romans. Now, being established, Romans 15, 4 says, being established in the Scripture gives us that we might have hope. You see, when you're established in the Word of God rightly divided, and you get the Word of God, you get God's Word rightly divided, established and stored up in your soul, it stabilizes your life because it gives you an understanding of what's out there and what God's doing. You say, well, if it gives us hope, what is the hope that it gives us? Well, if you look down at verse 13, Romans 15, 13, now the God of hope fill you with joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, what is that hope that He gives us? Well, go back to Romans chapter 8 and look at what he's already told us. You remember he says back in Romans chapter 5 that being therefore justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ and rejoice, by whom we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Here we were in chapter 3 of Romans. We'd sin and come short of the glory of God. Romans 5, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And the thing that stands between Romans 3:23 and Romans 5:2 is the cross of Calvary, the death of Christ at Calvary, and His resurrection for our justification. Romans 4, the last verse says that He was delivered for our offenses. God took Him and delivered Him up to Calvary for our offenses. And then He was raised again for our justification. That is, when God put him on Calvary and put our sin, our offenses, all the things that were wrong with us on Him, and poured His wrath out on Him there at Calvary. Then when He raised Him, He put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. Then God raised Him from the dead. Death couldn't hold Him because sin had been completely put away. The wages of sin is death. There had been one of your sins that hadn't been paid for completely, totally, and forever. Jesus Christ could have never come out of that grave. The fact that He did is just like holding in your hand a receipt that says, paid in full. And the old account settled right there for you at Calvary. And God did it. He did enough, He did it all, and He did it for you. And all you've got to do is trust Him. All you've got to do is receive the gift. Being justified freely, it's a free gift. It's a wonderful truth. Heaven is a free gift. Eternal life is a free gift. The forgiveness of sins is a free gift. If it wasn't, you'd never get it. The reason people don't believe it's a free gift is you think you can work for it and you can merit it and you can do something that God will accept. You think your righteousness is as good as God's. And that's the most wicked, blasphemous thing anybody could ever do. Folks, the worst thing anybody ever did wasn't committing murder, wasn't shooting his grandma, and it wasn't rape and pillage and plundering. Those are wicked, terrible, dastardly things. The worst thing anybody ever did was pit their righteousness against the righteousness of God and say that Calvary isn't enough, that God wants what I do and that I can pay for the free gift of eternal life that Jesus Christ bled His life away to purchase for you. Anything but faith in what God did in His Son when He gave His all and freely delivered Him up for you is absolute, total foolishness. It's the foolishness of human viewpoint. Now, Paul said the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. So if preaching this as the only answer and as a free gift to you sounds foolish, the Bible says, I didn't say it, the Bible says it's because you're lost. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish, but to us that are saved is the power of God unto salvation. Now, you see, what God's Word does is it reads your meter. It identifies where you are spiritually. I'm just a spokesman. I'm just saying what the verse said. But God's Word gets under your skin and knows right where you are. And as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart, and as a revealer of your spiritual condition. And that truth right there of eternal life being a free gift, that truth right there identifies where you are spiritually. And if you don't think it's a free gift, you think there's something you can do to work for it, earn it, deserve it, merit it, achieve it. If sin is a free gift, it's foolish to you. You think it's just easy believism. You think it's too easy. The reason you think that it's foolishness, the Bible says, is that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. Because Satan, the god of this world, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they be saved. Now that's a fact. That's what God says. Little wonder people don't like the Word of God. Little wonder people would prefer religion. Little wonder people would prefer tradition. Little wonder people would prefer something other than what the books say. Little wonder people are always trying to throw out the books. And Paul said, don't throw out anything out of God's Word. Keep it all. Because what the Word of God does give you hope. Romans chapter 8, verse number 18, Paul says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Verse 22, he says, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. For hope that is seen is not hope, but for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. We understand that one day Jesus Christ is going to come back out here and take us to be with Him. He's going to come back here in an event we call the rapture, the catching up in joy, and take us out there into the heavenly places with Him. And that there's some glory. There's some glorification of the Lord Jesus Christ out here in a place called glory that we're going to share with Him. Now go back with me to Romans chapter 4. The Word of God gives you some hope if you're a believer. Now, being established in God's Word gives you unity of purpose and mind. Romans 15:5. Now, the God of patience and consolation grants you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. The Word of God gives you the ability to think in a oneness of mind. Think like God's thinking. That we might maybe with one mind, that we may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we're to be of one mind. All believe the body of Christ is to be of one mind. What is that mind? It's the mind of Christ. It's to think the way He thinks, not think like denominations think and tradition thinks and religion thinks and you think and you think and somebody else thinks and I think, but to think the way God thinks. People ask me all the time as I travel around the country teaching and preaching. I say, Brother Rick, what do you think about so-and-so? I have a standard answer. I believe the Bible's right. You know, let's talk about what the Bible says. One mind comes out of the Word of God. The body of Christ is to be of one purpose. And our purpose has to do with what He says there about glorifying God. With one mouth and one mind, and one mind glorifying God. That is, we understand what God's doing, and we're busy being involved in what God is accomplishing. You'll never know what God is doing today. You'll never have an appreciation for the things that God is accomplishing until you get into the book and understand God's purpose in His Word. His purpose in time past, in the prophetic program with Israel, His purpose now, in the dispensation of grace with us. In order to fully appreciate our liberty in Christ and the liberty that God has given us in His grace, we've got to be established in the Word of God. True liberty, my friend, demands a knowledge and an understanding of God's Word, of what God's doing, of all that God has accomplished for us in Christ, and what God's purpose in saving you is, not just in keeping you out of hell, but in doing some things for Himself and His own glory through the ages of eternity, and how you fit into it, and how others fit into it, for His glory. You see, hope isn't something where we just say, oh man, I sure would like it to come to pass. It is a confidence based upon understanding. And the clarity of the understanding only comes as the sound doctrine of the Word of God, as the doctrine of the pages of the book reside in your heart and in my heart. As we take our stand on the sound doctrine of the Word of God rightly divided, as truth becomes our guide because thy Word is truth, then we understand how to use our liberty and not abuse our liberty, and have Christ not simply live in us, but live through us for His glory. My friend, it's as we walk by faith in the reality of what God's Word says, rightly divided, the reality of who we are in Christ, that we then have the ability to see the liberty, enjoy the liberty, and have the hope that Scripture gives us become a real experience in our lives. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape we'd like you to have to go along today's study. The tape is entitled, Don't Throw the Old Books Away. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during regular business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 357. That's tape offer number 357. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us today. If our study together has been a help to you, we're happy to put you in touch with a Bible study in this area where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know. We're happy to send you some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best between next time for another Message of Grace.